we were in the process of going home here. We were pulling the aircraft through the hangar doors because it was 20 to 5. Obviously, we finished at 5, so we pulled the aircraft in. And the phone rang and I came up and got it. And control told me that the other two aircrafts that may have attended, well, Cornwall weren't available. They were busy doing something else. So off we went and we took off and headed out towards Widmouth Bay. We had been there before, so we kind of had some idea of what it's like and how that sort of camping area is, or caravan area. And we were told that it was a 3-month-old little girl who was collapsed and pale and floppy. So it was in flight. Mark was attending and he starts to prepare for treating a 3-month-old. So he needs to consult his medication chart, which gives us dosages for potential medication, so we're all nice and prepared. The fact the flight was a from here sort of 15 minute flight does give us a little time just to chat through what's going to happen and how we're going to cope with it. We arrived there and I had to stay with the aircraft because of where we were landing. We're landing in the middle of a campsite, so there's people everywhere and children, so I had to make sure that they didn't sort of approach while Mark went and started assessing and discussing with the crew and taking the handover.
So what conclusions did you come to as to what had happened to Eloise?
Well, no definite conclusions. I mean, we got the history from the parents, who were doing really well. They were calm and able to tell us, and they had other children as well. So they were, yeah, experienced people with their little girl. And what they described was quite clear, that she'd become sort of unwell last night and got progressively worse during the day, but then suddenly started to go downhill, which is like, her appearance drastically started to change, I believe, and she started to look, you know, extremely pale, and it was distressing for them. So that's when they phoned, I think they phoned NHS Direct originally, and they were advised rightly to phone an ambulance, which they did, and off we went. And so obviously we don't know why she's done that, what sort of has caused that collapse, and what we have to judge is how severely ill she is. And to us, obviously she was starting to be compromised. She was very pale. She wasn't as alert as she had been or should be. So certainly our decision's clear that she's appropriate for us to convey. However, we felt she was stable enough for us not to have to intervene at that stage. So though she was, her respiratory rate was elevated and her heart rate was elevated, it wasn't to the extent where we need to really start resuscitating her at that point. So the main thing is the decision's made, it's nice and quick, and we can avoid doing that by prompt conveyance to hospital, which is what we did.
Now, Glenn, I know you deal with cases like this all the time, but it must feel different in your heart when you know it's a little child like that. They just feel, well, I used the phrase earlier, they just feel so delicate, don't they?
They are much more complicated to attend. Obviously, they can't tell you what's going on. They can't tell you what's wrong with them. They can't tell you even if they're in pain. So yeah, there are totally different challenges. Obviously, everyone around them is more distressed for the same reasons, you know. So they, yeah, looking after small children or children of any age really, but babies even more so, is definitely more challenging for all sort of pre-hospital people.
Now, I know that you don't always know what happens to your patients, but I'm delighted to be able to tell you that she is back home now and recovering. So worth missing your tea for?
Absolutely. Yeah, there was never any question that it was completely worth it, and we were glad that we were able to go and do the job.